This is a Forwardly podcast.
And we're back for part two. This is part two of our favorite moments from season two, Pacific Blue. Enjoy. That we see of the burglar, the very first time we see him, it's playing a very, what you think is a familiar song. It's the Pink Panther song. But no.
Dun-dun.
Just went.
It's so funny.
It's exactly like when they couldn't afford the rights to anything other when the Saints go marching in last episode.
So dramatic. I loved that.
They're like, we'll evoke some like sense of memory with this song, but then we're going to take it completely the other direction so that we don't get sued for copyright infringement.
It's TC and Chris. They're going to have to go on another stakeout mission. And guess what? They have to act so in love, and they have to act like they're in, not even in love. They have to act like they're in full lust. And let's just say that both of them are pretty happy about this. They're trying to be like, oh, no, gross. But they're both getting throbs.
Did you just say throbs?
They're both getting throbs. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, for sure, TC's getting a throb. And Chris is like, okay.
I hate that you use throb in that way. Mm. They're getting throbs.
They're getting throbs.
Ew. Right. So he decides that he's going to personally, not on duty and without any authority, he's going to follow Headline. And he's going to be around for the next meetup between Headline and Serial Killer. So
he's doing like private detective work. He's doing like PI work.
So he watches them meet. He decides that he can get a better view from the top of the building next to them. So he's watching this without any radios, no wires. Couldn't hear a darn word.
Just his eagle eye shot up old vision.
Okay, so just also imagine he's not hearing anything, right? So who knows what they're even talking about? He just sees them consorting down on the street. He's way the heck up on the top of a building.
Yeah, he can only see Headline and Killer. Just kind of like, they could be talking about anything. Really anything.
They really could. They could be like, you want to get a sandwich later? Are you hungry? What's going on? So he yells, okay? He chooses this moment to make his move. So they're all the way down on the street. He's all the way on top of the roof and he goes,
freeze the least.
Palermo, come on, bud. At least go down a little, at least climb the fire escape. He's literally like trying to get down, like, stop, you guys stop. I can't hear what you're saying, but you cut it out. And he's like trying to get down and they're just looking at him like, what an idiot would do this.
He gives them so much time to run away, but then to make it worse, so he's like, stop, freeze. They're like, what the hell? Is someone yelling at us from that rooftop?
They can't even hear the word freeze. It's like, and they look up and they're like, what?
They start, like, I don't want to say they start running away because they have plenty of time.
They just kind of slowly walk away and side-eye him the whole time, like, turn their back. Like, what is that?
So he starts chasing them, and then he fucking biffs it down the fire escape.
Oh, Palermo. His poor little leg doesn't work. His muscle went out.
He rolls the whole way down the stairs. So he's like...
He does. He roll. I don't know if this was even part of this. The actor himself could have just fallen, because I don't know if this was part of like their intention, because it looks like he really fell and man, he just barrel rolled down there. Real smooth, Palermo.
So he's like, way to get the whole scene put together is him being like, stop, freeze.
And they're just literally slowly walking away with their head over their shoulders like, oh, look at that guy. Still watching him fall down. At that point, they don't even know it's Palermo. He's so far away. They can't really see. Don't. It just
and
looks like
dark.
A stranger.
It's nighttime.
So they literally just hear a voice out of the distance up, and they look back, and they see a person just falling down the stairs. So they're just like, there's, I don't know what Palermo was thinking.
Did you see this asshole over here? What's he doing?
Did he tell us to freeze? Does he think he's a cop? Is that the hotel? Is that the hotel lobby guy? Like, who is this?
He comes up to the site. Also, can we just talk about how this burglar will also, while he's casually in full daylight, drink champagne while he's burgling them? Like, he'll take the champagne from the night and be like, classy. Oh, I'm just going to have a little drink take your stuff. Don't mind me. So he goes
it's a Hotel Chantel. You have to have champagne when you're burglaring somebody.
Obviously, you can't just burgle it without champagne. He comes up to the nightstand. So, like I said, keep in mind, Chris and TC know he's in the room, right? That's the whole freaking point of them luring him. He goes to grab something on the nightstand. TC puts his hand on the burglar's hand and he's like, gotcha. And then they make eye contact and everybody screams.
They do the EXO surprise. Ah! Home Alone scream status.
You knew he was coming.
It just caught up to TC, like, what was all happening? They all
weird.
They all scream for like 10 minutes, all looking at each other, just
I just was so perplexed by that. They seem so surprised. They arrest this dude. They like take his mask off. He starts spewing all of his bullshit and he's like,
oh, sure. Yeah. I've been rejected by every other woman that walks into this hotel. They all go for the big, strong, dumb guys. So it's only fitting that the woman that arrests me rejects me, too.
Yeah, so many women reject me. It makes total sense that I'd finally get caught by a beautiful woman and she'd arrest me.
That's the grossest voice.
So
but it just really... It kind of does, like, summarize him as a person, that voice.
Yeah, got by a beautiful woman.
He's kind of like Cartman-y.
It only makes sense you got caught by a beautiful woman.
But it is. He's so weaselly. It's a perfect voice for his perfect
weasel.
Such
a weasel.
Face.
So then he has the nerve. Okay, so he has the nerve to bitch about not getting attention by women and to be arrested by a beautiful woman. And TC's like, all right, cuff him. And he puts his wrists together, puts his hands in front of Chris and goes,
would you?
Ew!
Chris, poor girl, she has had so many men just so obsessed with her copying and ugh, so weird.
Fetishing. Oh,
he starts licking the handcuffs. Ugh, this guy's so weaselly.
And she does it, and you know what? She does this weird smile like, oh, you kook. And I'm like, do not give him the sexual satisfaction of handcuffing him.
She does like that little like coy like wink. Like, oh, you.
Like, it's just a casual like, oh, okay. You're up to no good.
I'll do this for you, you little stinker.
Like, you know he's getting the throbs as soon as she puts those
so
cuffs
gross.
On him.
And they had to keep in mind, guys, that they had to have full sex. As a stakeout so that they could catch this little Weasley guy who literally stole like a couple things from people.
He's like kind of giving her like a quick version of what happened the first time around with the serial killer, like years prior when he watched that doctor get killed.
Mm-hmm. We and get the like, backstory. We get the Palermo backstory.
He goes,
Tony Palermo breaks the cardinal cop rule and puts down his gun. What's he got for it? Killer who gets away and every person who's died since can thank him for it.
The one time I broke the cardinal cop rule and put down my gun, and I'm like, I'm 100% sure you broke like 20 more cardinal cop rules when you were falling down a staircase.
Palermo, we've been with you since the beginning, bud. We've seen you break a lot of cop rules, okay?
That was like not the most like mistake you've ever made.
Wait, so
the most disgraceful move.
He made a mistake by putting down his gun.
And Chris is like, okay, well, I'm gonna leave you two too, and I'm just gonna take this guy in. Take your time. So TC and Rebecca just leaves her job midday, just walks off with TC, starts as a criminal, like a statement to the police as a witness of a crime, ends in, oh, these people had a very serious relationship and they know each other and had lots of sex together.
Yeah,
and
it was
rekindled.
It was hot and heavy. Let's just say that. You can tell they had a
it
very
starts
sexual
as like,
relationship.
It's trauma. She's like, I saw this crime being committed. Da 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 da. It ends with them making out on the beach, like within the same conversation, like, I haven't seen you in 10 years. And then they make out and then she's like, I guess I got to get back to work.
I know, she just takes some time. Well, I guess they just get robbed. Maybe she was like needed a minute to calm down. But in this conversation,
TC, calm you right down.
Right. And in this conversation, TC's like, where were you? How are you here? And she's like,
I've known Stan forever. He needed a manager and I needed some cash until I could get a job in the jewelry district.
They love districts in this. You guys, I've never said... well, there is the only thing I will say is that there is a design district, I guess, in San Francisco, and like a financial district, but nobody's saying I don't know. Nobody says that. I don't know. Maybe in the 90s it was a thing to say, like, you lived in the district instead of your neighborhood. You were like, I live in the park district. Lots of parks.
Let's bring it back.
So that's her goal.
Suburb district.
She basically was a really hot model in New York. That all, you know, looks fade. That tall glass of water faded.
And she says to him, like, you know, you get a lot of context about their relationship in this conversation. I mean, never mind that she's just been robbed. Like, that takes a real backseat real quickly.
Look, TC, I know that the last time I saw you...
That's ancient history, baby. Okay? You don't have to apologize.
But A, everybody looked great. The cast now looks great, but they were doing flashbacks. And I'm like, everybody just looked older. They were supposed to be like 22 and 24. Yeah. And they just looked older. I don't know how to explain it. But doing the flashback, I'm like, well, maybe they did look pretty young. I don't know what I'm going with that. But everyone in the 90s looked a little bit older. Claire Danes, my so-called life.
That was real.
She looked like 25.
She was 13 when they filmed the first episode of that.
That is wild.
And Jared Leto was like 21.
You have a 13-year-old son. Can you imagine?
No, that is wild. That's really crazy. I hadn't even thought about that. Oh,
that's crazy. But she looked a little older. She looked a lot more mature because she had that dark hair. Anyway.
All right. So he's like, I'm going to need you to do me a favor. And he also is like, I know something about you that you haven't told me personally, and I've invaded your privacy by going through your personnel file.
And as a gay man, I can say that Del Toro was probably sweating ball sacks right now. He was probably like, what is it? Me, gay porn? Nothing. What? Me, gay in the past? Did I gay porn? No. I like men? He's probably sweating bullets, but, you know.
His desk is full of pictures of naked MacGruber.
Right. Like, me in high school when someone was like, hey, I know something about you. I was like, what, huh? No, you don't. You don't know me at all.
Nope.
Get the fuck away from me. Anyway, side note. So he walks out. Del Toro leaves. He's like, I'm not having any of this. And Palermo's kind of frustrated, obviously, because he wants that four free dinners at Hal's.
He needs those dinners. Who's going to feed Palermo if it's not Hal?
Sheila sure is not. We don't know
Sheila's
where she is.
Not.
Taking care of Annette.
She's
still
taking care of her girls.
So later that night, we meet up with that beautiful Rebecca, that mysterious woman that TC knows from the beginning. And she's at the restaurant. It's clearly closed. It's after
where
hours.
Where she was working earlier that day and where the robbery took place, the roller skate robbery.
And she's just locking up. And as she's locking up the door, she turns around and she sees. And again, I think in Pacific Blue World, when they ask for someone to play like a negative role or like a... bad role, they just pick like be 7 foot tall, must have long luxurious hair, either pulled back in a ponytail or free flowing, must always wear a trench coat, and kind of have like this
black clothes.
Oh, black clothes, and kind of like well dressed a little bit.
Literally all she wants to do is fuck TC. And I'm like, you have just and it's not even a little bit. She's laughing. She's flirting. She's like, let's take a shower together. He's like, girl, let me just have some space. And she's like, oh, maybe I need a cold shower. And it just feels so...
Can I make it up to you?
I'm supposed to be working.
And you wouldn't mix work with pleasure.
I promise, Lieutenant.
Is he here?
You know what I mean, Becky. We gotta be careful.
Always such a boy scout.
Like, bitch, you almost just died. Like, you literally got almost shot by a shotgun. If Stan hadn't been there, you'd be dead. You're not, like, rethinking your priorities, your life. Do you really want to go to the jewelry district now? Is that something you want to continue to do? Or do you want to move back? Rebecca, you seductress of the night.
She's got the throbs.
TZ's got the throbs right now.
And it's not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with her sex drive or her wanting to have sex with TC. I'm not slut-shaming her in any way. It's just the circumstance. I guess everybody deals with shock in a different way. Maybe you get like hypersexual if you're processing a trauma. I don't know. But
well, that thing, there is that thing. Well, it's not hypersexual, but what is it? Not Munchausen's. It's a... What's the one where it's where you like start to fall in love with your kidnappers, or like when trauma happens? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, Stockholm syndrome,
and you like kind of start to like have feelings for the people that are like either kidnapping you or holding you ransom or something.
But she's A, he's not kidnapping her, and B, they literally just walked into the hotel.
I know. I was just trying to make some kind of big, like, just trying to explain that away in some possible way. But yes, you're right. I don't know. I've never been in a situation where I've been shot at with a shotgun, so I couldn't say.
Something really, really important happens while they're in the hotel room, though, because this very first night that he's taking guard over her, someone shows up in the window in the moonlight.
It's the shotgun-wielding man. The scary shotgun-wielding man. He knows where she is. He's like, Bex, I got you tracked, girl. You don't think I'm smart enough? I don't know why I'm whispering right now. You don't think I'm smart enough to track you down, girl? Come on. And now you kind of know, like, oh, shit, this is personal. Because at first you were like, robbery, what's going on? But now you know. This guy's after Becca.
He's watching the lifeguards. And then one very specific lifeguard by the name of Mackie Smith comes over to him and starts shit-talking him.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, I hear you're too scared to get involved. Oh, I hear you're not going to play the games this year, bud. And so, of course, that lights a fire under Palermo's ass. And he goes right to Palermo and he's like, you know what? I'm in. And you know why I'm in? Because Palermo's like, well, you just told me you would do literally anything for this team, but not this. So what changed your mind? And he's like, you know what changed my mind.
Mackie Smith. He's just a little shit talker, and he got me all riled up, and now I want to beat him because I'm going to be fighting against Mackie Smith. And
Palermo's like, this is the greatest news I've ever heard. This has nothing to do with your personal journey. I said it backwards.
Oh, no. He was definitely thinking like, yeah, for sure, beat Mackie Smith. He was not thinking about the four free dinners at house.
Yes, exactly. I was like, he's definitely not at all motivated by the house dinners. Not at all.
Palermo's no, like, yeah, yeah.
Del Toro,
you do your thing. I'm not thinking about that at all. I don't want that steak dinner at Howl's. Just you do your thing.
You know Howl's is not serving a steak dinner. You know Howl's is doing like a chicken fried steak or something, like a really shitty piece of meat, just deep fried. They're like, it's the worst.
It's like a Denny's.
Howl's. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, the Grand Slam. It's also known as Denny's of the Boardwalk. Picture Flashdance. When she's dancing in her studio, mm-hmm. I'm a maniac, and she's sweating and her feet are moving at like 5,000 miles an hour and just sweat is gushing down. That's exactly Del Toro's moment of glory.
And it's the best because there's these little scenes where he's like punching bag really quick, and little Elvis's baby head is just looking like every scene. Elvis is just behind him somewhere. And I don't know if Elvis is training with him or just like monitoring, but he's just back there, big old bushy-tailed, bright-eyed, looking at Del Toro train. It's the best.
Maybe he has some frame of reference, because remember how he used to fix the bikes for the Olympic team in his home country?
He knows a thing or two about training for sure.
Yeah, so he's like, listen, I know it's not, you know, sport for sport. However, mm-hmm. I could probably give you some tips that are in general would be helpful for this. So, you know, he's just the resident pseudo expert.
Ever since you said Flashdance, I just keep getting distracted, because when she was eating that lobster, it just keeps flashing into my head. Because remember, I watched, no pun intended there with the Flashdance, but remember how I watched it with you for the first time? I had never seen it till like a year ago.
I was so happy to show you that movie. I love it so much.
And there's a scene where she's like slopping down that, right? She's like eating lobster at the nice dinner. And then she's like,
sexually.
Yes, and she's trying to make it. Oh.
So after all this training for Del Toro, he ends up boxing in the match, and you never find out who wins. Like, there's all this buildup, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because his romance.
I think it's just about romance. Yeah, his sexuality is what won. Because yeah, it builds up, and then you see him boxing, but it just kind of leaves you on the edge of your seat. Old PB.
That's okay though. All we needed was just like real. I was gonna say nail in the coffin about his sexuality, but that sounds negative.
A pin in the cushion. I don't know.
I was going to say the last color in the rainbow.
Oh, geez, no. Okay.
Anyhoozle, we're going to get back to the main plot because this is what's important. So Chris does finally confront TC and she's like, listen, I have a real bad feeling about Rebecca. Do you notice that every time you try to ask her about the crime, she just like tries to bone you? Is that not connecting with you at all? Are you not seeing a pattern in her behavior or anything? And he's like, you're being crazy. And she's like, you yourself told me that people don't change. She hurt you once. She was ruthless and relentless. I have a feeling she's still the same person. And right at that moment, Corey pops in with some very pertinent information, because who has woken up?
Stan the man. He woke up, he got his lettuce in the walk-in, and he's like, Rebecca, she knows that man. He was shooting at her, but not to kill her, to scare her. He doesn't really talk like that. I don't know why I'm doing that voice. Like, I was doing like an old decrepit British man. But basically he says that they definitely have some kind of connection, and this dude was not shooting to kill her, he was shooting to scare her, and he knows it. So Sergey and Rebecca, his name is Sergey, we found that out earlier, they just know each other, something's going on.
So cut back to the bank. Guess what happens with the pregnant lady?
Oh, it's not Braxton Hicks. Hick? Is it Braxton Hicks or Hicks?
Braxton Hicks.
Braxton Hicks. That sounds like a country music singer.
It really does. It
we should start a country music band, Braxton Hicks. And go like, ooh, yeehaw, yeehaw, yeehaw.
I need you to so stop doing that.
Yeehaw, yeehaw. And it like counters as like a Lamaze class. It's a 2-in-1. For pregnant country moms. Oh, that is a good idea, I think. I don't, if anyone out
there, and let's see what
if
happens.
Anyone out there is listening, you know what to do. Find me on Instagram.
Now I'm picturing a room full of pregnant mothers with cowboy hats on, like laying back into their partners, and they're all sitting on saddles getting ready to give birth. Yep. So their Lamaze takes place on saddles on the ground, and then they're holding the saddle and they're leaning back to their partners who are behind them, and they're holding wearing their cowboy
hands,
hats.
Holding their hands, and they're just like,
and they're holding the reins.
Thank you for taking Braxton Hicks. I'm here all night.
Oh my God. Forgive us for that joke.
But yes, she's not experiencing that. She's actually going into freaking labor and she's having real ass contractions. Her big fat whale cow body is having real ass contractions.
I thought you were saying she's having real ass contractions.
I don't know. You've been pregnant. You've given birth. Maybe you do have ass contractions.
I was like, what are ass contractions? Yes. She's having real bonafide
ass contractions. Oh, yeah. You get it.
And then her water breaks.
Oh, geez.
Which makes it even messier.
And now the police are now, sorry, not the police. Now the robbers are like, oh, geez, what's going on here?
I mean, if they're full for keeping her hostage, what did they think was going to happen?
Just let her go. Just keep freaking, I mean, at that point, it's really just Corey and her.
And TC.
I'm going to just let them all go and rob the bank. These guys are a lot nicer to Corey than they are to TC. Boy, oh boy, do they just rough him up, poor little guy. He's handcuffed behind his back, and they just kick him all the time for no reason. They'll just, like, walk past him and, like, kick him.
Yeah, they'll be, like, talking about the plan, and, like, casually walking by and just kick him and keep talking.
And he just, like, falls over on the floor, and he's like, And then they're, like, come back a couple minutes later, just kick him, punch him for no reason. So Corey's watching TC get that, like, actual ass kicked out of him. And she's
the
going...
The ass kicked out of him. Does he have an ass contraction?
I have a lot of ass talk today. I don't know. Ass is on the mind. We're back with Chris and Del Toro and Rickshaw Man. And it's a scene from outside the bank. And Del Toro and Chris come rolling up on their bikes. And the rickshaw guy is running behind them with his rickshaw, sweating and dying. Okay?
How long did it take?
He's hobbling, and I'm like,
he's
you guys.
Freaking jogging with his rickshaw. He's
like
carrying
full,
it.
Like, sweating rickshaw behind him, a huge rickshaw. And they just pull up, and they just, like, leave him in the
and
dust.
And you can tell that they they've been riding their bikes very slowly because they're parallel to him.
And we're thinking a couple things. Like, Del Toro, Chris, if you're so intent, like, help him. Or just be like, hey, we'll call in another cop to watch your rickshaw. Like, why you help us with this hostage situation? Do something to help.
I think we've got security on your rickshaw cover.
Write something. Or at least, like Katie's, like, tie a string to your bike and help him. Like, this is so crazy. But
pull him along.
Anyway, they pull up.
Put him on the back
of
your bike. Pump him all the way over.
Right? He's literally jogging behind them and pulls up like a good 5 seconds after they do, sweating and panting.
Beyond just the ridiculousness of that. Also, like, they're in a time crunch. There's hostages in a bank.
And a pregnant lady.
They've already waited 45 minutes to even find the guy running around on their bikes. And now they have to wait for however long it takes for them to slowly ride and jog all the way back to the bank with the rickshaw.
Realistically, that would be a few hours. It would be definitely nighttime or the next day if that was the case.
Right.
Jeez, Del Toro. Chris, what are you doing, guys?
So they you could have been like, you know what? I'll stay here and watch the rickshaw.
Right? I'll
you
just
guys
stay here.
Go.
You guys go. Get on my bike. Let's go.
The squad is getting a new recruit.
Yes, we're getting a new recruit. Well, that's what he's leading to. He's like, Chris, let me tell you, I've got the tea on this. Talk to Anton Mortimer. He told me that a new recruit was coming on.
Anton and Mortimer was like, there is a secret journey ahead. There will be a mysterious elf in the forest.
You will see a new recruit with a badge of gold. And a gun of metal.
No, and they're like, it's a new recruit.
That's too obvious. He wouldn't say anything that straightforward.
It real.
A breathing organism.
Oh, I love you, Antoine Mortimer. But you yeah, Chris that. Basically...
Love you, Antoine.
Love you, Antoine. His name is Anton.
But
I keep calling him
it's
Antoine.
Okay. It's cool. Antoine would love it.
Antoine Mortimer.
They're waiting for... You know, who they think is this new recruit to come in. And all of a sudden, this guy in a leather jacket and jeans comes bursting through the door. Mm-hmm. He has two giant, huge guys on either side of him. Yep. He's dragging them in. And he's like,
now someone wants to call his mommy. I'll wait. Let's go. I got a couple of Girl Scout fellas in here. Get in there. I'm sure you know the deal. Oh, hi. Sorry I'm late. I got delayed on my way in.
Delayed.
Yeah, I was riding to work, taking it easy when I caught these two slugs trying to steal the news helicopter they keep out on the edge of the pier.
You brought these guys in by yourself?
Oh, chopper was only 20 feet off the ground when I was finally able to shove them out. And they hit the ground good, man. Problem is, the chopper hit the ground too. It's burning, so's the pier. But I radioed the fire boys. Everything's cool. All handled. I almost forgot. Here's their Uzis.
Excuse me, but who are you?
I'm Scott Kramer. Your new bike cop.
A helicopter crash. What are you doing pulling him in? Like, how does that... You don't just leave the scene of a helicopter crash, Scott.
I know, I died.
Scott Kramer. I feel like someone's just to have a little too much fun telling tattles. Because that is not true. And also,
they're
like
really, Scott Kramer? Because we can see the pier from here.
Scott Kramer, I don't see any helicopter on fire. I'm looking right down the beach. And also, like... The police are like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just take those two bad guys in. We're not going to help you or anything. You do it, Scott. Like, he doesn't have a police car. Like, does he just walk
he's
in with them?
Does
he have a
Miles
bike?
He's
not
nothing.
Wearing a uniform. This guy, like, what? He's the head of the motorcycle guys. He might have been the guy that actually shot the guy in the foot. We don't know. It was someone in his
gang. The other thing about this criminal is that he has the... weirdest accent. The way he chooses to play this robber,
this whole episode was the weirdest dialogue.
He's like, hey, Hamlet Schmidt.
So...
Oh, I'm like,
he's like an old, talks like an old, like, I don't know.
It's
you are,
such
you're like,
a weird
what
choice.
Are you doing? You better get over here, Hamlet Schmidt, and we're gonna get you. And you're like, why is this 60-year-old man dressed like a 20-year-old punk?
A hip guy like running a motorcycle gang. I don't know what you're talking about.
And he's trying to be so cool and quick and like have these like kind of like got your nose,
got
like
your nose.
Like, you know, like a no, just, hey little guy, got your
he's
nose.
Like,
that was gonna be the saddest thing.
Harry Schmidt on a park bench.
No, I meant like he's like teasing him, like he'll hit his head, and like, you know, when bullies like that, they'll like slap your junk, they'll do like a little nut tap. Like he's like doing that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry, I can't
breathe.
Just the idea.
Well, because that fits the guy's age range, really, but does. Not the character.
The combination of a motorcycle robber and the guy who chose to play the motorcycle robber in that way, saying out your nose, was just too much for me. So
it's too
in
much,
this really
too
weird,
much.
Bizarre interaction, you find out that the Weasley guy with the suit is named Hammerschmidt. All I imagined was like people rubbing their necks together, and I was like, what is sexy about
that? I guess
that?
I thought petting like your vagina, like actually like you would pet a cat, like just rubbing your vagina. Or like petting your penis, like letting it like lay in your hand and just sweetheart. Just like petting the top of it, giving little treats. It's so gross. I hate the word heavy petting.
So nasty.
So okay, they so do get a very heavy petting from Palermo, where he's just so upset. And like I said, he's got his glasses on his nose and his hands on his hips. And he's like, you guys, I'm mad. And then they're like,
he doesn't know what to do.
He doesn't know what to do. They're like, Palermo, really? And he's like, I'll think of something. But, and then they just kind of walk out of the room. It was real sad. Palermo has no control over this group at this point.
She's like, listen, this might sound weird, but a guy did it to me once. Can I lick your badge?
This sounds really strange, but like, do you want to put like some flavored syrup on that badge and just let me go to town?
You lick a hole through your face trying to get to it.
You guys,
Christopher Walken comes in for one scene.
Yes, that was
puts that bag on your head.
Marie Callender mails. Like, what are you talking about?
Welcome to another episode of Bruh, It's a Podcast. Every week, we convince you why you shouldn't hate millennials.
Best TV series of all time is Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones.
Anything that's not the two of those. The best series of all time is 24. Wake up.
My love language is gifts because I love when women pamper me.
You also, bro, love languages are stupid. I don't have language. Speak to my penis.
I don't know who Sade is.
You should be shot in your face.
I still don't know who Sade is.
The finest female singer of all time has to be Jennifer Lopez.
Whoa!
Yeah, if you take singer out of it.
Check us out Thursday. Find us on Instagram at Bruh, It's a Podcast.